Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Merciful, my friend. Oh, and all he asks of us You dare deny him. In the name of the Almighty God who originated the heavens and the earth, we greet you, power to the people. We hope the peace and the blessings of Almighty God be unto you and to your family. We say traditionally, assalamu alaikum, and many take exceptions with that, but Jesus said peace, and Jesus never gave up on the peace. And he said, peace, be still. So sometimes you can sit still and learn a lot. So we want you to buckle your seatbelts and be real tight here tonight at Black Power Radio. I'm your host, the Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem, and we're in the beautiful city of Washington, D.C., a potential fair city. And, well, I'll tell you now, it'll be a fair city when we change the name to Banneker Town, and then we know we have the power in the hands of we the people. I'm just so happy to be here in the city tonight because we have so much to live for, so much to fight for, and so much we have invested our blood, sweat, tears, and so much of our spirit has been put into the soil, into the land, and into the just the aura of the land. It has the smell of we the people, the aura of we the people, and certainly the blood, sweat, and tears, as we've said. We're just happy to be here tonight at Black Power Radio. We have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, and maybe you tuned in tonight. I can see some of you are using the smartphone and the iPhone, and then there are others here with the Android, and there are others even with the paranoid phone. And if your phone is paranoid tonight, and by whatever means you have decided to tune into Black Power Radio to get your information update, to get your business straight, to get your mind right, so you'll go out with your rap tight. Oh, my. I'm the Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar, the one and only, right here at the Black Power Radio. And we do mean Black Power is a lifestyle. It's not a call for racism. And goddamn it, if it is the fucking race card, I'm just telling you straight up and down. I didn't deal this shit. I'm just playing the hand I've been dealt. And that's the card that's in the goddamn deck. And if we go ahead and roll it, then we're just rolling with what we've been dealt with. And what we've been dealt tonight is a winning hand, and we play from a winner's hand, and we keep a winner's perspective right here at Black Power Radio. We want to ask that pertinent cross-examination question tonight, right, with the Los Angeles Housing Authority. And is there corruption in the Los Angeles Housing Authority? Are you kidding? But that is the pertinent cross-examination question tonight. Is there corruption? And we are going to address the state of homelessness across America, because they say there have been so many vouchers given out by HUD. It's not right to say get a Bud Light, not a Bud, but a HUD. Housing and Urban Development has given so many vouchers to each state, each municipality that put in certain requests, certain parameters are met, and they put out allowances of these housing vouchers to those states. So if they put out 125 vouchers and only use 75, some of them are complaining, well, we're getting 50 back. Or is that 50 going unmanaged? And when they give out $150 million to a network such as the Freedom Network with Dr. Truth Bay, how is it that they're able to clear the account, take the money back, redistribute it to somebody else without acknowledging her, without paying any attention to them as a network organization in the field of housing and feeding those that need housing and feeding those that are hungry. And that's all I've ever seen them do. So, I mean, you just got to pull a fast one to drive, to do a drive-by on that for $150 million that they were allotted as a grant to just help the community. But because there might have been too much Haitian Revolution in it, too much blacker my, too much authority given over to the melanated woman. Whatever the case, we're going to talk about it tonight right here on Black Power Radio. All we ask is if you do plan to speak tonight, to please press 1 on your keypad right now. And that will put you in the circle, and we won't have to go looking for you. You'll be right where you're supposed to be. And we have so much love in the whole just the diaspora, all those nations outside of Africa, all of those that are fighting within Africa. We have Gambia. We have Sierra Leone. We have UK, meaning United Kingdom. You have not the Bloody Queen, but the Bloody Comrades of the UK and London, such as Huey P. Rose. They have shot our beloved sister that was a potential chairwoman, Shasha Johnson, a follower of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, as we are here, followers of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And what they've decided to do, my, is to shoot her in the face, and she's injured for life, y'all. And she has gone in a coma. She's been just treated in the hospital since the shooting, and we haven't gotten an update out of the UK for Sister Shasha Johnson. So anyone that has an update on Sister Shasha Johnson of the UK, we're certainly here at Black Power Radio hoping to hear something. We have not heard, and we have had her as a guest twice on Black Power Radio. Go back and dig the archives, and you'll find Sister Shasha Johnson was an outspoken revolutionary, an outspoken black activist, a Black Panther. So don't get that twisted, because they keep writing articles about, oh, she was a Black Lives Matter. Well, God damn it, Black lives do matter. But as far as the network organization, we all Black Panthers. They just slow to catch on. They're stealing the legacy of the Black Panther and running down the road with our integrity and our money. But we don't give a damn about no cracker named Uncle Sam. So we only get with that which you donate. So if you decide to donate, we're asking tonight, if you want to help the Black Panther Party, if you want to help Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar to build his legacy in the continuity of Black Revolution, in the continuity of the mission of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, the Honorable Huey P. Newton, our beloved brother Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Little Bobby Hutton, and all of those great Panthers that came through in the first round and the second round, the second resurrection. We are the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. We are unapologetically Black. We are not any compromise, so maybe that's the problem they're having with us, hoping for a compromise. Well, there is no goddamn compromise. We're straight revolutionaries, and that's what we do. So with that, we're going to bring some more power to the mic right here. We got our brother Ty that's right in South Carolina, the chairman. Chairman Ty, you out there? We were looking for him. I hope he's right there where you can get to where the goat's at it.
I'm in the building. Ty in the building, baby.
Black Power in the building. Nowhere. Come on in the building, brother. Black Power.
Hey, when they think ain't on their ass, I'm right here with the camouflage on. I blend in like a chameleon in any environment that I come into. You feel me? Sometimes you got to blend in with the folks you around, man. You know what I mean? Until it's the right time to strike or the right time to step up. You got to be in the right playing field. So right now what we're going to do, we're going to level the playing field. And we're going to get everything set in order for us to win because we winners. Yeah. So look at this right here. Propaganda, yellow journalism. I got a little bit of the topic mixed up yesterday, but, you know, we needed to talk about that too, man, because they're gearing up this country right here. They go and invade another country who ain't necessarily the enemy of the black man. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they use the propaganda and journalism to get us to gear up. You know, they're sort of culturing us and trying to get us to, you know, have that enemy foul demeanor toward other people who really ain't trying to hurt us. They're using us to really invade their countries and steal their wealth. Whether the wealth might be iron ore, plutonium, steel, wood, or even their women and their children, you know. That's what the white man do. He depicts every little thing that he can about you. He find out every little kind of thing about you that you like, don't like, what can hurt you, what helps your body, what hurts your body, and then they use it against you. So we already know that. So what we going to do? We going to sit here with our hands down, or we going to fight? What we going to do, folks? So this is the thing right here. Why the fuck are we killing each other? That's my whole problem. when I wake up every day, I say, damn, let me turn the news on and see if, you know, something good come across. Then I look up and I see a man that looks just like me behind bars for killing another man that looks just like me. For all I know, hell, I might be next. You know, I would expect the white man to probably try to shoot a shot at me, but, you know, my own people, they shoot shots at me. See, they do it in a different way. They do it in a whole different way, in a sneaky way, in a lying way, in a smiling way. Hey, you look at them, they smile right in your face. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Hey, you need this? Here you go. Yeah, grab your donut. Look, cup of coffee. Yeah, it's on me. Yeah, there you go. At the same time, they're trying to kill your ass. You better believe. Might put some poison in your coffee, you know. But this is the thing, man. Learn how to treat one another. Even, hey, look, if they can do it and smile in your face, I know you can smile at one another. And then we killing each other, huh? Hey, they don't mind selling us no guns. I'm going to tell you, man, they talking about more black people own guns than ever before. But do you think they mind? I'll tell you what, go into a gun shop in a town or a state where it's legal to buy a gun and see if they deny you a gun because you're black. Nah, they're going to hurry up and give you a gun. They're going to give you extra ammo, all that kind of shit. You know why? Because they ain't worried about you shooting them. They ain't worried about you. They already know who you're going to use that gun on. You're going to use that gun on somebody that look like yourself. Do you hate yourself? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Do people really hate themselves? I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to pass it back to Mr. Akbar here. And where's my, believe, I'm a little bit fluttered here. My beloved queen mother, Sister Reese, where is she at tonight?
Oh, man, she's right there on the mic, brother. I ain't going to lie to you. But Tom, hey, you're making a strong point, man. And far too frequently, we are using those guns on each other. And the white man is proud to sell you that goddamn gun. But they are banned. There's always been, they say, let that rise out of you. Another group of people that's inviting to all that's good, forbidding us to do wrong. And the Black Panther Party are using our guns against the goddamn opposition. We're training to shoot at the opposition, to shoot at our open and vicious enemy. This is our job. So we're on our job. We just hope you wake up and start doing your goddamn job. And we love you so much, Brother Ty, as we go down and talk to the Queen Mother's right there with us tonight. And she's going to talk black to you about some spiritualism and what's going on in the city of Gaffney, South Carolina, and the county of Cherokee. And they're just nudging up against Spartanburg. And we're just trying to see what's going on in your geographical region tonight. Queen Mother, welcome to Black Power Radio.
Peace and blessings to everyone.
Peace and blessings.
Oh.
Hey, sister.
Hey.
How you doing tonight?
How everybody doing? Everybody. How you doing, Navy?
We're doing fantabulous. Fantabulous over here, mama.
Great. Well, me and my husband, we've been too long, came in. We went to see Wakongwa. We just came from seeing Black Panther movie. So I felt good. We said we was gonna go out tonight down here in this little racist town of Gaffney. They little movies is $5 on Monday, so we him and I went out and we went to the movies today.
How'd you like it, Queen Mother?
A little momentum, you know, and it was good.
It was good. I love it, man. Did y'all stay for the credits, Queen Mother? All the credits when they roll, right, and kept rolling. Did you stay in there for a little while?
We stayed to the end.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. So you got to see the rise of the sun in there, huh?
Yes, we did.
Oh, there we go. We cooking with some hydrogen peroxide or some high test premium. Everything else that can flammable helium.
Tree.
We cooking
yeah,
now.
Yeah, good old fish tree. Yeah, but
that means he's coming on back strong here now. Well, there's some new pastor coming on the chat.
Some new pastor. That's us. Yeah. That's the one. That's our next generation. Our next generation. God knows. They coming up behind us. Slowly but surely. They unite. I trust and believe in God. They're united. The one that's coming behind us. I got with Dr. Trouvé earlier. and she questioned me about the man that additionally, you know, that's my focus. I don't mean to harm, but I focus on what's be going on Black Radio. But my real focus is my son. And I'm not deviating from cause, but that's my cause right now. That's my focus. I love and the information that we get, and that's I love the information that I receive. But I'm really focused on the bell, you know, getting some answers, because today is day 60, and I still have no answers from October the 3rd when Dennis Fowler, who is the coroner of Daphne, knocked on my door at 10 a.m. on the 4th of October. I still don't know no different. So today I reached out to the assigned counsel lawyer, Christopher, and he texted me back and told me by the end of the week that I should know some toxicologies what they have been waiting on. So he told me by the end of the week. So basically, that's what I have to wait on. From what I've been waiting on the 3rd. So the end of the week, it'll be the first of December, basically, which is Thursday, going into another month. And Saturday, which will be the 3rd, that will be another month for my son being deceased, which he on October the 3rd. So daily, 24 hours in a day. So every day go by 24 hours. I don't hear another 24 hours. It's not 25 hours in a day. So every 24 hours, it's another day. So I'm still got my hand in the lion's mouth, still waiting. But I'm still hopeful and prayerful. And I basically, that's all I can do. I'm on standby, as we all are, that's on this line. You know, that's just about basically what I can say. I'm grateful to good Lord let me see another day. I'm grateful that good Lord let everybody that's on this line by the sound of my voice that we are here to see another day. But let's be on one accord and touch and agree that these toxicologies or whatever they're looking for, whatever they're covering up, whatever they're searching for, that ain't really there. So the veil is buried deep in the ground. The spirit is still roaming. Let's see what they say by the end of the week. The only thing I can say, that's the only thing. I'm hopeful and prayerful. I'm not going to be discouraged by the white man, because we've been discouraged over 400 years by them. We are oppressed by them daily, every second of our lives. Regardless of whether Lavelle was alive or dead, we still going to be oppressed, and he's still gone, and we still being oppressed. So, you know, I'm going to keep hope alive, just basically where I stand. I'm going to keep hope alive. I'm not going to be Dr. Thomas. I'm going to keep the faith. And I want y'all to keep the faith with me. Because they can run, but they can't hide. El Duffy stays in the dark. That's just basically it. And I'm glad that everybody's here on the line tonight. And I just want us to stay unified. That's my motto. Let's just stay unified. That's about all I have to say.
That's a great motto. I think we should adopt that for Black Power Radio from our National Spiritual Advisor. Stay unified and peace be still, and know that God has not abandoned us. And we are
definitely a
people seeking the divine intervention as well as our hard work on the ground. And we love the Queen Mother and her family, but we stand. We are the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. And we stand in support of this family That is the Lane Reese family. And with the death of Lavelle Lane, there has been no answer from Spartanburg County, Spartanburg City, the sheriff's office, the administrators, in the name of an extensive investigation. But look at who's being investigated. And we have the wolf guarding the chicken coop in Spartanburg, and we are saying they investigate themselves. What kind of department investigates itself and bring you any kind of good and new news? So we're looking to see what is the response. Is it coming directly from the SLED, from the South Carolina investigating team? Is it coming straight from the sheriff and his deputies? And what kind of evidence will we find and uncover within the next few days? We stand as the Black Panther Party in support of the family, and we'll be there by them if any decisions are being rendered or anything that goes on. The Panthers there on the ground with Brother Time or myself or Black Lightning or CJ or see any of our staff members will be there. Even Dr. Truth Bay, as we have on the line tonight, talking about a various situations, but she is deeply involved in this case of Lavelle Lane. We're going to go directly to Los Angeles and get her coverage tonight. And we're just so happy to have all of you, but especially to happy to have our National Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, is right here with us. And we thank you for joining us tonight. Our co-host is doing a piece on the homelessness, the state of Black America, and this all of these killings. And what is our posture as We the People government at this hour? Power to We the People, and welcome to Black Power Radio.
All right. Power to the people. Hello, Black family. How are we doing this
power
evening?
To the hey,
all right.
Black
well,
man.
All right. We're so glad to have you join us this week. We have a lot to unpack. We will speak to our guest later on, Mr. Lewis Hollingsworth from Homeless Free America, to discuss the current state of homelessness in Los Angeles, which is the homeless capital of the world. We have detailed some issues on what the source is, touched a little bit about HUD, Housing and Urban Development, and we will dive deeper into what exactly is a declaration or proclamation to declare a state of homelessness in your state and how that will be effective in at least tackling one of the major crises that affect Black people, which is homelessness. Second is incarceration. Last is foster care. So we will have step-by-step on what to do to address the issues and to coincide and work with your local politicians, your local elected officials that was elected by you, John Q. Public, to hold them accountable to have issues like this addressed. This is our tax money. So we want to make sure that it's streamlined for that. So we do have, I don't know if our special guest, Lewis Hollingsworth from Homeless Free America, is he on the line?
I am. Doc, I'm here.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on Black Power Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on once again.
All right. And Shanky Mom, for sure, to connect the dots as far as what steps we are taking here. That we can duplicate also in other states, especially in D.C. as well, DMV, South Carolina. These hot spots are where our Panthers are located. This is where we want to be effective and reclaim land acquisition. That's the name of the game. So before we go into
absolutely
our top subject tonight. Oh, yes, you were saying something?
I said amen, but absolutely in the form of amen, just use the word absolutely, but amen, Lord.
All right. Amen, amen. All right. So before we go into our top subject of the state of homelessness, we do want to piggyback on some local current news. As Queen Mother has mentioned, currently it's approaching day 60 as far as we receiving any type of information from Spartanburg County. Starting with Chuck White and Charles Lesso, who is the Spartanburg Detention Director. and as well as Christian Evangelista, who was the arresting officer. We are still gathering some information on these three pertinent individuals that should have communicated better with the Reese Lane family since October 3rd. But as we wait this week to get some responses from local advocates on this case, we are still processing notices of discrimination, charges of miscommunication, and, of course, wrongful death, of which we ultimately want to prosecute those who were involved in our young brother's demise, that they be held accountable. So stay tuned. Next week, we should have some follow-up updates concerning the response time in Spartanburg. Consider that. So continue to keep the Reese Lane family in your prayers. Stand by them. Continue to call Spartanburg County, Spartanburg City Council, both of which we can give you that information as well. And show your support. If you can't be there physically, then you can definitely be effective when it comes to getting answers, especially for Black families who unfortunately have our loved ones stolen. Their bodies may be stolen, but their spirits are still alive and well, and we must continue to fight to bring justice for Lavelle Lane. Now, in international news, we have Imam mentioned one of another prolific activist who actually remained bedridden to this day, and this is Sasha Johnson in UK. And just a brief history about her story. In England, in the UK, the mom of two was left fighting for her life when a four-masked man stormed into a party in Peckham, southeast London, and this occurred in May 2021, so not too long ago, almost a year and a half ago. And now her mom, Ella Darling, and her sister, Shakira Williams, have vowed to get justice for Sasha after the criminal case against these four monsters accused of shooting had collapsed. So you see, Black family, there really is no accountability for when we get gunned down, whether it's from our own or whether it's from these race soldiers. Our lives, for some reason, are not valued enough for them to be detailed and communicate with the loved ones who have to bear the pain of what happened to their loved one. So in a recent emotional interview, Ella said she is a strong, she's fighter, Sasha is a fighter, and that she will come tell the story of who did this to her. So her speech is still not all the way there, and her lower body is still, she had lost an eye, and she was left with no movement down on the left side of her body after the tragedy. So she's still bedridden, family. And this is where you really have to give flowers for those activists who are putting boots on the ground, because every day, risking their lives, risking our lives to bring forth justice for our people as a whole. And sometimes things like this happen. And thank God that Sasha is still with us, but she's still recuperating, and is still a lot of pain. So if you want to know more about Sasha Johnson and how you can help, you can definitely call us at 1-866-548-0521. Again, 1-866-548-0521. So that way we can get more information out to you on how you can help Sasha Johnson and her family as well. All right, so now we go to our main topic, and in the third hour, we will touch on a breaking news concerning another famous YouTuber. His name is Charleston White, and as we had discussed the recent increase of gun violence amongst our youth, this is one of the people that actually use guns to be part of his MO, whether it's for clout or whether it's just to show off. His platform, which is over 3 million followers, he's on every major hip-hop platform. And yet every week he's always discussing the rappers on how they are disrespectful to the Black community, which is true. You know, he does have some valid points. But his recent stint last week concerning pulling out a gun on his Fort Worth interview. We will touch a little bit on that and the significance on why we must deter our young people from people like Charleston White, who is supposed to be a youth mentor. And he would have been doing a great job with the platform that he has, but unfortunately, they're taking a turn for the worse. So we'll touch a little bit about that next week. Let's go to our heart story, L.A. L.A., as we told you before, is the homeless capital of the world. And currently, we do have our new mayor, Karen Bass, who was the Congressional 37th District Representative, who now has become L.A. City Mayor. And so during the Thanksgiving weekend, she was out and about serving the homeless in Skid Row. So here we have a clip of her doing her in action.
The L.A. mayoral race, both Karen Bass and Rick Caruso, said solving homelessness was a top priority. Well, now Mayor-elect Bass says she has a plan to declare an emergency on day one. Phil Schumann talked to her today about what that really means.
He joined the SWAT in downtown L.A. Phil.
Crisis. But when you go to Skid Row in downtown L.A., it just smacks you in the face. It's shocking. It's sad. It's tragic. And it continues. And that's where I got a chance to talk with Karen Bass about her initial plans to, as she put it, solve homelessness. With a big smile and lots of help, L.A.'s mayor-elect Karen Bass came to ground zero in the homeless crisis. Skid Row helped serve a Thanksgiving meal at the L.A. Mission.
We're all united, the whole world. Skid Row breaks my heart.
It absolutely does.
And it should. Having pledged to solve homelessness, Bass has said that on day one, she will declare a homeless emergency. But what does declaring an emergency actually accomplish? Is it a soundbite or is it actually a solution?
No. It is absolutely not a soundbite. It is not a solution in and of itself, but it is to help us get a solution, and that solution is getting people off the street and into housing. Essentially, it will give me the authority to rally all of the different departments in the city so that we can centralize the process and move it forward, and especially to take control over city-owned land and fast-track housing.
All right. So there you have it. That is Karen Bass and her recent interview stating that declaring a state of homelessness is what she wants to do. Now, this has been mentioned years before as well, but again, nothing has transpired from it. So what we have did, you girl, a Minister of Justice, attended a city council meeting on November 15th, and where with Homeless Free America, we had already declared on record a state of homelessness. So take a listen. Here is the actual clip of the city council that we have attended.
That is me. Greetings. So my name is Dr. Truth Bay. I have to read a statement. A state of emergency is requested to be declared in the County of Los Angeles effective 11 a.m. December 1st, 2022. The state of emergency request to be declared due to the impending increasing homelessness causing infectious diseases, violent rages from growing encampments, and wandering mental health. The situation threatens public safety. In conjunction with the California Emergency Services Act that establishes statewide emergency standards that put in peril of life, poverty, and resources of California citizens. In July 2016, a $1.2 billion bond called Measure Triple H was passed to build 10,000 units of permanent housing, which has not been followed through. In March 2017, Measure H has spent $1.8 billion in an increase of sales tax to LA County constituents to relieve the homeless crisis by 30%, and it has increased by 65%. July 2021, an order from the federal judge, David O'Connor, to shelter all of Skid Row homelessness by October of 2021 has also not been followed through. And most recently, on September 25th, a personal investigation on the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, in which we have found $150 million federal grants have been returned to HUD without one person saying a thing. Now,
all right. So this is part of the statement that was declared on record. And as a nonprofit organization, it was important to make this first step. declaring a state of emergency actually brings forth extra resources that could not have been done alone, as Karen Bass mentioned. And we're actually going to go to Lewis Hollingsworth in a few minutes, and he's going to explain better to us the importance of declaring a state of emergency and what those codes look like. So right after this hearing on November 15th, that council city person that was not there at the time actually adopted the state of emergency, put it under their council, and yet the second part is, what is their steps? That is what we are yet to still find out. See, it's one thing to declare a state of emergency, to bring in military forces to actually combat homelessness, but it's another thing to actually have a clear plan of action on how to do so. And that is what's missing with our local officials. So just briefly, HUD, if you're not familiar with housing and urban development, it is a United States department that focuses on low-income housing, and it's ran by Marsha Fudge, who is a secretary. Now, the deputy secretary, which is second in charge, is ran by Adrienne Todman, and they're both African-American females. They're both black. Now, what I've noticed is that when Joe Biden placed these two ladies in this position, that their position is not to alleviate the housing crisis for black families. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. It is actually the opposite. It is to create roadblocks, misappropriate funding, which is why we were able to discover $150 million plus more that was misappropriated. But if we don't hold our local officials accountable, they will continue to do so. So this is many points of accountability that we are trying to do here in Los Angeles to reflect the state of California. And this is the model that we want to disseminate to our other brothers and sisters, organizations in other states to take part in these steps to also declare a state of emergency in their state to take over. All right, so fast forward. Now we have an update concerning these codes and what does the state of emergency look like. So there are three codes that is sort of going to bring the solutions as far as declaring the state of emergency. And these codes we're going to discuss in depth. What does it mean and why is it important to know the state statutes and codes in your state? Now, the California codes here may not apply in other states. So it's very important for us to know what codes or laws that my state has in order for us to go over certain roadblocks in order for us to alleviate the homeless crisis. And some of these codes we've discussed is the California Health and Safety Code 101-025. Los Angeles County Code Section 6268110, and the U.S. Government Code, which actually can be used in any state, is 8630A. And we'll go briefly into what they all mean. So now we're going to go to our guest of today, homeless guru, Lewis Hollingsworth, from the director of Homeless Free America. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Lewis.
Once again, thank you for having me on, Dr. Critical Truth Bay.
Absolutely, absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about what the steps now in declaring the state of emergency, what does that look like for the city of Los Angeles?
Not a problem. But before I kind of elaborate or articulate on that question, just let me say this to the listeners. You have to understand the whole dynamic behind the uptick in crime, the uptick in homelessness, and we'll just deal with Los Angeles. You got here's the key. Job security. Job security.
Right.
if there was no homeless people in Los Angeles on the street, in motorhomes or whatever the case may be, how many people in that power structure would lose their positions and their jobs?
Right.
How many of those people who claim that they have a desire to prevent and end homelessness wouldn't have a paycheck to pay for those houses up in the hills and those Mercedes?
Right.
So, therefore, it is totally illogical on our part to believe that the power structure has any inclination at all to want to end or prevent homelessness. The more homeless people hit the streets, the more money they can justify asking for to mismanage. The same way job security with crime, the police department. If there was no crime, killing, gang banging, and robbing, there would be no need for police. So to believe that the police are genuinely invested in stopping or preventing crime, we would have to be insane to believe that. The more crime, as a matter of fact, I was told by a senator once before that, Lou, did you know that every time a black man is killed, that means an extra $1 million that goes to the police department?
Monstrous.
Yeah, every time a black man is killed, overtime, detectives, this, that, and the other.
Actually, I want to pause right there and shake you, Mama Bar. I want you to actually elaborate on that because you did mention that in the past, that every time a black person is killed, that they do get some extra pay.
Absolutely. When a black man is killed in Los Angeles, New York City, there's at least $1 million from the white nationalists that put up online, and it goes much higher. It's just mind-boggling, the kind of investment. Los Angeles and New York are the models of how white America really feels about it, how all these police, high, fired, retired, feel about us. If you see the case, I'll just take a typical murder case just right off the break that everybody can see where the ghost can get it. O.J. Simpson accused of killing Nicole Brown Simpson. LAPD, namely Mark Furman, rolls out. And says he has a preponderance of evidence, et cetera. But he rolls out to Wyoming. How does a major detective in a murder case, the lead detective, the most known detective, escaped to Wyoming? Why in the fuck would he have to go to Wyoming? For what? During the major investigation in the interim, they're pressing the idea that O.J. Simpson did all this shit. And Mark Furman now, go. And then why in the fuck does a detective get to plead the fifth when he's working for We the People? He's supposed to give you all the goddamn evidence. So in the O.J. Simpson case, it was millions and millions and millions of dollars. Taxpayers' money, private lawyer money, O.J. money, and all that to take O.J.'s money. The white Zionist Jew, the one that was talked about by Bob Marley, still talked about by Stevie Wonder, and now talked about by Kanye, Kyrie, and anybody else can get to a goddamn microphone, from David Chappelle to the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Is talking about this Zionist, you know, his unrelenting spirit to go after our wealth. You got your wealth, manage it. But you want to manage your wealth, our wealth. We're quick to attack the blacks, but never, never attacking the goddamn Germans, who he's blaming for all this. All of his heartbreaking atrocities, he puts it in his Holocaust. But read the German Holocaust to black people, then you can see symbolically how Los Angeles is put together and why it's put together the way it is and the posture of the state of California. And they will put up $1 million plus on most of these cases. So if they can get a rapper, that's a prize. That's a triple feather in your cap. might be $3-5 million spent on overtime. Idealism. That some celebrities died in the midst. Back-to-back killings of celebrities and rappers in L.A. Another rapper dies today. Another that rapper dies tomorrow. This is crazy as fuck. And if we keep going for it, it's just because we fail to identify with the selfhood. We the people, government, must rise up and take charge of all of the Black Panther property in view. I can basically land on that piece right there. But that's some real shit. He's saying a million, as maybe a million plus easily, depending upon the caliber of the individual. For whether he came out of the ghetto drug dealer, whether he came out of the house and his mom, whether he came out of the suburbs, and you see what I'm saying? And whether he was a rapper, a superstar, an actor, millions and millions of dollars put up every time they can claim a Black man and put him in that goddamn body bag. Because all lives matter, but it's all Black lives in that goddamn body bag. And I land my plane on it. Black power. Power to we the people. Because I am a Black revolutionary, don't you know?
Power to the people, absolutely. And that's something that we must keep in place.
You know, I'd like to say, Dr. Tube, the Honorable Imam, he mentioned the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I was about to allude to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, they preached and preached until they turned blue in the face that we must do for ourselves and stop looking to the oppressor to cure our ills, okay, which includes addressing and solving homelessness, which is disproportionately ranked by Black people, okay?
Right.
We have the answer. You know, we have the answer. The solution to solving the problem and protecting and making sure that our people, especially the women and children that's out there sleeping on the ground, are housed in a safe and sane location that's staffed and by our people, so we can make sure that they get the best treatment, whether it be physical, mental, whichever. Let me say this. You mentioned to the listening audience that they need to acclimate themselves to the laws in their state, as it relates to different areas of homelessness, HUD, and so on and so on. Let me say this. All across the United States, there are unused military bases that have acres and acres of land that's sitting up being underutilized. Those bases are there screaming for us to come and take control.
Right.
Right now, when you look into the Defense Base Enclosure Realignment Act, you will see passage after passage that says all of these military bases, the first and foremost use must be given over to nonprofit organizations that house the homeless.
You hear that, Black family? If you have a nonprofit organization, you need to listen up and take advantage. Well,
that act, which is a federal act, is federal law that any nonprofit in close proximity to a military base in their city or town, that military base belongs to them.
That's right.
All they have to do is assert themselves with the law, let the military know that, hey, this is what the law states, and this is what you must do to follow the law, and take control. That is us, of all of these military bases that's empty and waiting for us to come and claim. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
That's right. That's us.
All we have to say, but we have not because we ask not. So all we have to do, like you say, acclimate yourself with the law, go forth with boldness, and take control of these military bases where we can house thousands and thousands and thousands of our people across the country. But anyway, I'm long-winded right now.
Oh, no, not at all. You're dropping some gems. So this is very important for us to do, is to take advantage. And how many times have I mentioned, Black family, that we must know the laws in our own state? There is no way around that. In order for us to take over the oppressor's position, we must first know what laws are abiding. The military, and Imam could actually double on that as well. The military is the most important department in the United States. You cannot do anything on a grander scale to change community aspects without the power of the military. And so knowing the military statutes specifically that obtains to these bases is crucial for us to know about them and really assert and take over these bases. Once we have possession of them, then we can be able to house our brothers and sisters who's been staying out in the street, been cutting out of housing and everything.
Here is the name of the act, so they can, you know, we can point them in the right direction. It's called the Defense, right? You got that? Defense,
yes.
Military Base Closure and Realignment Act.
Okay. And we're about to pull that up, and that actually is Public Law 100-526. And this was actually implemented October 24th, 1988. So it's almost 40 years old. So when
you're talking about Dr. Tubay going out and reclaiming the land,
mm-hmm.
here is a perfect opportunity. It's just the land is sitting there saying, okay, guys, so come and get me.
Yeah. And that indeed is what we must do.
In every state, these bases are laying up, waiting for us to come and take control.
Right on. All right, so that act, again, is called Public Law 100-526, and it's the Defense Authorization Amendments and Base Closure and Realignment Act is the total name. So if you have time, if you write this down, study it, and find out how that applies to your particular state. Since this is a U.S. government section code, it usually applies the same way for all states.
It does.
Yeah, just a basic tweaking. So definitely, family, especially if you have a nonprofit organization that focuses on social services, this is a definite addition that you need to address. While we are implementing that right now in Los Angeles, this is something that you can do in your city, in the state that you live in. And as we move
numerically period, that's Bill 105.
Yes, it's called Public Law 100-526. 100-526.
Give them the name of the act again.
Sure. It's called the Defense Authorization Amendments and Base Closure and Realignment Act. Ooh, it's a long one, Black man. Defense Authorization Amendments and Base Closure and Realignment Act. And so this was in place since 1988. And this is one of many laws and codes that we'll be discussing tonight that you can apply when declaring or proclaiming a state of emergency. Declaration is more powerful than proclaiming. Am I mistaken, or does the words matter?
It does. Here in the state of California, only the governor can make a declaration.
Okay.
An emergency declaration. But if you use the word proclamation, then any mayor, city council, board of supervisors can proclaim a state of emergency. The governor declares a state of emergency, right?
Right.
The local government, they declare a local emergency. It's two different, see?
I see. So declaring is more powerful.
Right, but both gives the same power to evoke the California Emergency Services Act. Declaration from the governor or whether it's a proclamation from the Board of Supervisors or the City Council. They both do the same, but it's easier to go through the board than to try to go through the bureaucracy of the state, through the governor's office, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Declaration by the governor, state emergency. Proclamation by the board or city government.
All right. And then you mentioned California Emergency Services Act. That's also called CESA. So what that means in California, it basically is very, very specific when it comes to what that entails. And in general, it basically is a regional preparedness and immediate response for an emergency. So that falls along the line of declaring that state emergency for the state of California. Now, every other state particularly has a different emergency services act. Mm-hmm. So definitely look for your state and under the Emergency Services Act, what does it declare? What are the points that you can use that will that pertains particularly to your state? So that's very important. All right, so the main, those two main codes are what we also have talked about. And the other three codes that we're going to, and we ask Mr. Hollingsworth to expand on them. The other two California acts, the California Health and Safety Code, and that's section 101025. And that is for reasonable accommodation to any employee who wishes to voluntarily enter and participate in a local alcohol and drug rehabilitation program. And how that helps is that those, especially with mental health, have some type of drug use, whether it's fentanyl, meth, heroin, crack, anything that's major that's affecting the mindset of a person, this California code can be used to apply to force them or force the resources to allow them to recover from these substances so they can go to a better life, so they can start working on some sort of life skill. You want to elaborate on that, Mr. Hollingsworth?
Thank you. Let me say this, Doc. Let's go to Skid Row, right?
Yeah. Homeless capital of the world.
Right. Now, you have to understand how the system or systematic or racism works against us, mm-hmm. how it works. It's the same. They've been basically like the Willie Lynch mentality. It's kind of been perpetuating itself year after year after year. Watch this. Everything they do is by design.
Yeah.
Watch yeah. this. They know what move they're going to make to adversely affect us years before it even comes into play.
That's true.
Watch this. Recently, Governor Newsom just passed a law called the CARE Court. Familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That law states that now homeless people that seem to have mental illness can be forced into an asylum or a facility against their will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they knew this was coming down the line. It didn't just pop up 2 or 3 months ago. This has been in the works for a while. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now watch this. All of a sudden, in the last few months, all of these weird drugs now have been hitting the street, fentanyl, all of the kind of manipulated marijuana, and all of these different type things are hitting the street now. Flocka, all these different drugs.
Mm-hmm. Spice.
Yeah. So these drugs could drive our people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The more crazy people or people appear to be psychotic. Here we go again, the CARE Court. who's going to set up the facilities to put these people in? Who are they going to be run by?
What?
Not us. So they're going to need clients and, you know, to make money. Once again, they're using the black people to make money. So drive them crazy. Put all the drugs out there. Get them all crazy. So we'll have a passive pool.
Right. So they look like saviors.
Exactly. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. You create the problem, you know, and, you know, because you already have the solution.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. They're well, the government is a well-established machine.
So that's how I view what's going on all of a sudden, just like when crack all of a sudden flooded the neighborhood. Now, this care court, now all these different drugs hitting the market before the care court law passes, right? They've set the stage so when they open up all these crazy houses, they can put our people into them and ask for more and more money.
Right.
Well, so that's why we have to be we have to create a stopgap measure now. We got to stop that from happening. And the only way that can happen is we have to take control of military bases where we can put thousands of our people. We won't be able to save all of them, but we can save a great portion of our people.
Right on. Right on. And that's the name of the game. It's really saving as many as we can, the capacity and resources. But we must start the process. So if you have not, if you're a nonprofit organization that really wants to temporarily house our people, these are the acts, U.S. codes, and local state codes combined that you need to study. You need to assess yourself. And we're going to name the important tools that you need, and there are only three tools that you're going to require in order to make, to accomplish this feat. So stay tuned to listen to these three important tools that you have at your disposal in order to make these things happen. But it's very important to actually start the process, not wait, because now is our time. Now is our time nationwide where a lot of the old regime is crumbling. A lot of people are dying that has been in positions of power for so long because, like the Lord said, it is ours ultimately for us to take.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be spiritually in tune to even know, be aware with our spiritual eyes that it's time, and we must have a strong foundation in order to execute these actions. Agreed?
Like the scripture said, it's going to take vision and knowledge.
Right. Vision and knowledge. And so the next code that we want to discuss, and this is particularly for Los Angeles County. So Los Angeles County Code Section 2.68.110. 2.68.110. And this code for LA County basically states to do whatever is vital and necessary to what's required to sustain the health, safety, and welfare of a person or animal. And we know how much LA loves their animals more than people. So this code, I'm sure, has been used in animal welfare protection in the past, but it has never been enforced to really protect homeless people. And so this is why expanding on this particular act. Would you like to expand on the LA County Code section and how important that is to this movement?
Well, that code basically gives us the type of leverage that it takes to compel the Board of Supervisors, especially. And I believe that code mentions the Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
You know, that code gives us, like I'm saying, that leverage that we can go to the board and say, hey, you know, you don't have a choice, you know, not to declare or to proclaim a state of emergency because the code says you got to do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's mandatory. So, and that's the first step. The first step is have that emergency proclaimed. The second step is then make sure that they evoke the California Emergency Services Act, right? And from that step then is then to summon in the military under the mutual aid provisions under the Act, and then have the Office of Emergency Services, once the military is deployed, to go through the process of locating these homeless people and then transporting them to a realigned closed military base. But what we have to do here in Los Angeles is now go get a base. And I've identified three bases that may be available as we speak. And I've already reached out to the people, the principals. So, and as you know, for the town hall meeting that we plan to have, that we plan to invite people from the Department of Defense there. So we want to use that same contact to let them know we're a nonprofit. We want to begin the process to take control of one of these bases, okay? And I'm confident that we're going to succeed, and we will set the standard, okay?
Yes, sir. There is some form of an addendum or an addition, say a continuity of the 1987, 88, 89. In 1990, there's at least a 39-page document that added to these defense base realignments, et cetera, to give the community access army base to. If there's I've declared it from day one, a state of emergency, the same goddamn government has been bringing in certain amounts of these drugs and then targeting the black community and getting agency. In other words, all of those things, those chem clouds and stuff that are put out there, you have to have a federal aviation clearance to drop stuff in the black neighborhood, drop bombs on Tulsa. Bomb our black Wall Streets across America, and to infiltrate with the COVID, with the stab and the jab on the ground. So I'm also active here in questioning our legal teams and our Department of Justice. Do we have legal grounds to serve the President of the United States, both 45 and 46, about this COVID
on that video and show your
there's evidence from the embalming community, from the funeral service community, and that network and their businesses. They are telling us that there's a new blood on the scene since the vaccination shots, et cetera, the stab and the jab has produced a new phenomenon in the blood, and that all of these people that are actually dropping dead. And I say again, especially in the black community, then investigating, we find out there's foreign particles in the blood that could be potentially connected to these goddamn shots. So we're studying this thing carefully, objectively, and putting their asses up, keep their testicles in the goddamn fire over their, what they call it, cover-up, public deception, malfeasance.
Oh, yeah.
Just like those bastards who just ran out of city council. Mama.
Right on.
Yeah, and let me kind of expand on that. You know, we're talking about the death of black men and women, children. Did you know there has been reports that a lot of body parts come up missing out of these cadavers?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's big money.
Right.
It's big money selling body parts.
Right.
And that's something else that we haven't really got on top of and addressed in an aggressive manner is, you know, we need to find out. We need to start holding these mortuaries and these coroners, you know, accountable, you know, for where are these body parts going, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
they
why
they buy bodies to make millions.
Yeah,
they're alive and making money.
Absolutely. And if you can, when you go to the DMV or you sign or they request for you to be a donor, never sign yes. Never sign yes, because then that, if God forbid you ever enter into an accident and they take you to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to try to save your life.
Then sure not, they're not. They say, oh, he has signed to be a donor. Okay, so let's see how well his organs are. If he's under anesthesia or whatever, and they're going to take their point right there. So that's very important, Black family. Never agree to become an organ donor on any document or your license.
And if a family member, God forbid, ever perishes in whatever manner, always make sure before that body leaves the morgue and gets to the mortuary, you want to make sure that your loved one's body parts haven't been removed from their body.
Absolutely. So that's something definitely I think we need to think about as well, backtracking. It's a very important point to make. Very important.
Well, we kind of cleared it from homelessness, but I guess it's necessary.
They would almost make it a mandatory, a demand in the state of Virginia to the people that were not totally functional, you know, we're going to get IDs and driver's license, et cetera. And they would demand, they would put pressure on them to be an organ donor. They're after our organs by any means necessary to get our goddamn organs. And we need to be forming alliances against these bastards. Jesus Christ said, you are against us or you are with us. Oh, get rid of these goddamn fences. They're causing us to be stagnated. They stop your progress. They are fulfillment decoys in the goddamn way. And we need to open the way for the righteous to take charge of these places, because the wicked have been in charge too long. The degenerates and the goddamn pedophiles are running shit. And they, I'm just cutting you fucking up, man. Well, let's keep it rolling. And I love what y'all talking about, though. That's all on the one.
Absolutely. You got to call them out. Call them out. All right. So one of the last codes, and this was a U.S. section code that applies to all states, is Government Code Section 8630. And in short, what that does is that it gives a local emergency that may be proclaimed by the governing body of a city, county, or official designated by ordinance adopted by that governing body. And that also gives that governing body the termination, the power to terminate the local emergency as early as the earliest possible date and or conditions that warrant it. So can you elaborate a little bit on the power of this U.S. Government section code?
I just want to, that's a local California government code, not federal necessarily, Doc.
Oh, local. I'm sorry. Yes. So it gives you local jurisdiction. Right,
the code I got is 2687. 2687 is a code of about 39 pages in addition to. So I'm assuming that the part that I'm reading is that it can be opened up to all forms of emergency. And it's a state of emergency, the state that they have us in, being in these goddamn, special ed classes. Is a whole goddamn state of emergency by itself. In Washington, D.C., you cannot ride. If you got an honor student, you can't ride the goddamn cheese bus. The cheese bus is exclusively for the mental health community, and there are a million stop people extorting money out of there. A $1,500 ignition system and install, he might be charging you $9,000-$10,000 and collecting money out of these out of the goddamn cheese bus. So D.C. has been exploited 1,000,000,000%. Every office of Washington, D.C., I believe, is compromised. So that's another battle. But nevertheless, that's just an example. But the 2687 is what you're looking for, that the continuity. And there are several other acts out there that are very similar. But the main thing is that the citizens get access to an army base in a state of emergency, and we can declare that. Because Dr. Cruz Bay, our Minister of Justice, has declared a state of emergency for the homeless. Like, Skid Row, don't you know they've got a goddamn sign? You know it's in bad shape. when you got a street sign that says Skid Row the homeless. There's got to be something terribly wrong with the mentality of a people that just will tick you all the way gutter. That's why so much gutter shit in L.A., D.C., and New York, they use a different word for it, but the same gutter system in Atlanta, D.C., and New York and Chicago is piped in a different way. When you get to Los Angeles, they just put a few palm trees in the way. They pump some water in it because it never rains in that motherfucker. You got to get ready for it, but y'all are doing an excellent job. Man, I just tip my hat and my koofy to you. Power to the people.
Yes, sir. Power to the people.
Yeah.
Really. So this state of declaration that we're taking place in the state of California, we're planning on having a town hall meeting towards the end of December. The details are still being worked out, but we definitely want our D.C. Panthers, our national, soldiers, I guess, revolutionary soldiers. We really do want certain people in attendance on that date. So if you are interested in coming to Los Angeles and you have a big part in alleviating the homeless crisis, whether you have a homeless organization or you're an elected official or you're connected to policy in some way, shape, or form, this is an invite that you do not want to miss. So we will keep you informed with the information on this particular town hall, and this town hall will be invite only because of the gravity and the sensitivity of the nature of this subject that we're tackling. We must have everyone who's invited vetted and have a special invite that is confirmed. So stay tuned. Next week, we should have more information on this town hall here in Los Angeles. And this should represent and duplicate in other cities, in other states. So therefore, tonight, the information that you have given concerning how to address a state of emergency in your state, please don't take it lightly, Black families. Do not take it lightly, because there's only so much opportunity that certain messengers can give, and if advice is only as good as you take it. So let's work together to expand on these new drastic ways that we have to take back our land. And this is one of the most congruent ways in alignment with our local government. So it's not against. This is a big difference, working with your local government to expand on the laws that they are elected to uphold. So trust and believe, if you know these laws and throw it back in their face, they can't do nothing but stand there and say, okay, I guess the jig is up. So that's where we are with that.
At the town hall meeting, I'd like to add to Dr. Shoesbay, is we plan to have a representative there from the Department of Defense who will personally elaborate and help people who have nonprofits that may be there that want to claim one of these bases. We'll have a representative from the Department of Defense there to help them step through the process.
Right on. And that's a very important step, to have a representative from the Department of Defense in tow. And this is where we can show a collaborative effort in really alleviating some of our crucial issues. But it has to start with us, Black family. We have to start making the initiation. That's why I say it's important for us, for groups to meet on a weekly basis. The oppressors, they meet 24 hours, 7 days a week. These race soldiers, they have meetings on a regular basis on how to destroy the Black community. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any excuse not to have the same organizational skills. So starting next week, every Sunday, we will have a meeting of the mind. And this will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. And if you'd like to join this meeting of the minds, you're free to call, please. We'd love to have you and put your ideas and your plans together. So you can give us a call at 1-866-513-9966. 1-866-548-0521. Again, that's 1-866-548-0521. And so we'd like to close off with Mr. Lewis Hollingsworth, who is our guest of the evening. He is the director of Homeless Free America and one of the most powerful, prolific organizations that's really pushing this state of emergency in Los Angeles. So we are so grateful to have you with us this evening and sharing the news of what we need to do.
It's been an honor and a pleasure, Doc. I'm looking forward to meeting the Imam, too.
Absolutely. And then we'll definitely connect the dots on that because this is very important to have great representatives. Yeah, great minds to come together and execute. And that's what it's really all about. So that's what we do at Power Radio. And so would you like to give our listening viewers any last points of advice or you'd like to also share your website and where they can find you and how they can support your mission?
It's www.homelessfreeamerica.org. Yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Yeah.
Okay, very simple. So log on to homelessfreeamerica.org where you'll be able to see the work that Homeless Free America is doing. And stay tuned with us as we declare and continue the drastic state of homelessness and its solution. Hopefully our elected officials can be on the ball and actually execute these requests. All right, so with that being said, that closes off for our homeless portion of Black Power Radio. And if we have any questions, Imam, if anybody's on the line that want to chime in and probably give us a point or two on their situation on homelessness.
Well, I'll answer a few. Let's see what we have. I can go to the first caller. I think one of the co-hosts was out there. Black Lightning is out there in about 9 more. Let's see what we got. Let's talk Black tonight. To the Washington D.C. and the region, and your question to the guest from our National Minister of Defense, our brother Black Lightning is right there on standby, and like you say, ready for the revolution. How are you this evening, sir?
Black Power, everybody. Hey, we're hanging in there.
Right.
I mean, doing better than that. We're here.
You gotta do better than that. Here we go. I'm gonna get him right out the jumpers. We're not hanging in there. It reminds me of the ancestors. I'll usually correct people, but I'm gonna correct him tonight. They said no, we're not hanging in there. We're hanging in there.
Yeah.
You'd be like our ancestors hanging from them goddamn trees. We're not
hanging in there.
We're activists. We're Black Panther activists working hard against the opposition with all the resources that we have. Against the enemy. That's what we're doing here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we come to the airway tonight. Not to hang in anywhere. We don't hang out on the block. We don't hang out with the lovers and discovers and the drug dealers, the drinkers and the stinkers, the naysayers and the toothsayers and the soothsayers. The goddamn delayed response and the fulfillment decoy folks, we avoid at all costs. So we're not hanging. We are Black, goddamn it, activists. So let's see if we can go forward with our Minister of Defense. He's here with us. And let's see, what is your state of being against the eyes of one to simply know? How are you, sir? That's a greeting. And how are you, sir?
Terrific. Very good.
Very good. Very good.
We're hot on the trail of the $151.7 million for the homeless situation that we're going to get what we need for our people. And I'd just be standing here waiting on the train to come on in, you know, with the 40 acres and the 2 mules. Yep, we're still waiting on it to arrive. No,
we're going to snatch it. We're going to snatch our 40 acres and the mules, so. So
that's
there's no
right.
Waiting on
that
sure.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm just listening in tonight, and very good, everybody. I'm very proud of everybody. Just hanging. I'm just standing by, listening on hand,
And I'll be here when you need me.
Black Power.
All right.
Black Power. We certainly need you. And the portion they left off is if you want to donate something, put some lean green in the black machine.
Yeah, that's
going
right.
Straight to your cash app. Get you some dollars. 77 Baker.
To yep.
Keep Black Power Radio on the airwaves. We need your donations and help to move our troops across the country to get their meals. Three hots in a cot or food, clothing, shelter, and transportation must be provided for our troops. And the U.S. government, of course, gives us no money. Black corporate America gives us no money. White corporate America and the Chinese government ain't going to give us a hyphen. So the only money that we get is comes from we the people. So we ask you, beloved brother and sister, to donate as generously as you possibly can to help us here at the New Black Panther Party for self-defense and as well to keep Black Power Radio on the air. Hands go up. Anybody here feel that Black Power Radio should not be on the air? And if so, raise your hand and make your comments, and we'll consider those things as well.
Never hold your peace.
Thank you so much, Brother Black Light, for being a comrade and right on the front line. Every turn in the road as we dash down the highway to 718-718-930. You're live on Black Power Radio. Hey, ye on this gracious Monday evening. I don't know what city thou art coming from, but you're coming in fairly barely. But speak right
hello,
to your mic.
Hello.
Tell us who you are and talk black to us at 718-930. You're live.
Good evening, Black Power. This is Andrea. How's everyone doing?
Hey,
fine, Sister Andrea. How are you?
How
are you?
Everybody. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Just checking in, seeing how everyone's doing. All ears. I'm just listening. Hope everyone is well. And all ears.
Tell what happened last Monday, Andrea.
Huh?
Tell what happened last Monday at the county council meeting.
Yes, and for those who are, so before Andrea goes, for those who are listening, Andrea is a sister of Lavelle Lane. That's her brother. And she actually is a student at Spartanburg Methodist currently. I believe, what is your second year, your first year?
Third
year, okay. All right, so tell us a little bit about the city council experience. They attended the county, Spartanburg County Council last week, and let's hear the results. So what was the experience?
Overall, I mean, I did think that we got to a point of a milestone. Because we were able to one of the NAACP presidents and reach a contact with him and got his information, and then we also got to speak to one of the council members as well, so he got my contact information in regards to the case. The vice president, in my correction. So we're trying to definitely get a lot of people involved. I feel like this case is well going only because it's still under investigation, but I feel like there needs to be more involvement. So we took the initiative to be able to go to the council meeting and hopefully receive some type of communication. Alignment, so whenever this case does bring out the truth, we are able to have those people on our attendances
right.
for our staff.
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's definitely something
we
that
were blessed.
Want,
we were blessed to. We were blessed to meet Sister Andrea and the Queen Mother at the county board meeting and. In the city of Spartanburg, it's very strange phenomenon is that I think they have one compromising half black. The rest of the city council is all, I think, white man, or at least a white woman. So it's a strange bedfellows on how this put together. You've got a Spartanburg population. I don't know. It's a fat number. I don't even want to call the number. We have a sizable population that should be, from my estimation, a few more of our faces, you know, as we go into transformation of leadership. We're actually changing the face of leadership in many of the townships in which we have gained influence. For instance, in Jackson, Mississippi, they told a black lawyer named Chokwe Lumumba that he couldn't practice law there. He had no business in the township. The white judge threatened to disbar this brother. You don't know what we've gone through. He said, we don't look like what we've been through. That's our latest hit. I hope y'all get it online from the National Minister of Culture in Charlotte. It's dropping it like it's hot. And we don't look like what we've been through. But he told Chokwe Lumumba he had no business practicing law in Mississippi, and that if he said a few more syllables out of his mouth, that he was going to disbar his ass. So we, Black Panther Party, moved on that shit. Not only did we put the judge at rest, where the defense moved in on him, and our best offense was our defense of Chokwe Lumumba. And eventually this man said, well, why don't I run for the city council seat? Huh? From being barred and not even allowed in the township, he ran for city council and won. And eventually he ran for the head of the city council and won. Eventually he ran for the mayor and won. Passed away in office, and his son ran and lost. Then his son, Chokwe Lumumba Jr., ran and won again. Now, he's the current mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. So you never know what the outcome. You never know how divine intervention is going to move in your favor. But if you sit there, you're non-activist ass, and don't do nothing, then that's why. Well, why didn't them run and everything? And why didn't them, and you scared to call the Black Panther Party in to check the opposition in the midst of their iniquity. And that's why your ass is stuck. And the only thing we're doing this line, they're just trying to unstick you from white supremacy, white nationalism, bigotry, and all forms of enslavement. That's why we have come here tonight. All praises are due to Allah. Power to the people.
Amen. Power to the people.
Amen. Amen.
Right on.
But let me say this, that little fly in the buttermilk that was sitting up there on that county council meeting, I've never seen such an arrogant, ignorant.
Fly in the buttermilk, right? Very arrogant, let me see. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that term loosely, black man. He sat up there with his cowboy hat. Like he was in the Wild Wild West, and like he was coming from the OK Corral, sitting there flipping a magazine while the black people were speaking. But when the white people was, well, I call them pink people. I'm going to say it like I call it. When the pink people were speaking, he was very attentive. But when the black people were speaking, this man literally took out a magazine. First, he went back and got some lemonade in the cup. And he brought the lemonade back. He sat there and flipped the magazine pages one by one. When he got to the end, he just started letting the pages flow through his fingers like he just let the magazine go. He went front to back. I was so mad at that man. I never seen such arrogance and ignorance in my life.
Yeah. And I seen a picture of him.
He was the only fly in the buttermilk sitting up there on that castle.
That's right. That's right. And if you look, his name is Monier Abusaft. And we had briefly mentioned him a week ago He definitely looks more Arab, I would say Iranian, mixed. So he leans more, and with the last name Abusaw, definitely that is a Arabic name. So to see that this only black so-called, as Queen Mother say, flying the buttermilk gentleman that's barely black, for him to overtly read a newspaper or read a magazine while people are doing public comment, it tells you a lot about the city council. And this is what I've experienced here in Los Angeles, too. Whenever I go to the council meeting, 9 times out of 10, they're in public comment. The councilmen are walking around. They're talking to each other. Some of them even have the audacity to have a 5-course meal at the podium. I mean, it is outrageous. And so this is where I say if we continue to utilize these platforms and numbers and call them out on this behavior, this is the only way they'll cease.
Huh? Someone called them out. They said, why don't you remove your hat? Remove your hat. And which it was a pink person. It was a male sitting behind us. He said, why do you want me to remove my hat? You like it? You want it? It was totally ignorant and arrogant. I mean, that man had me so. That man had me hot in that council meeting. Because, I mean, you're supposed to be representing me.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's why, I mean, I didn't vote for him. That was the first time I ever seen that man in my life. And probably if my son hadn't been murdered in Spartanburg Detention Center, I probably still wouldn't have never seen him. But in these council meetings, I'm going to attend everyone that I can, that I physically can. If they have one, I'm going to be there in attendance. And as I was saying, it's this book that's out. It's called Sex is Not a Funny Word. If Andrea, am I correct? Are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the name of the book?
I believe so.
Anyway, there was this preacher. Family, you had 2-3 minutes to speak. They took up the whole time. I guess their applications to speak was before we got there. I mean, we got there on time, but I guess, you know, they went by, I guess, how the applications were laid down. And so the whole family spoke. It was preacher, his daughter, his son. And they were speaking about this book. It's this book in particular. It's in the library. It's called Sex is Not a Funny Word.
Yes.
I had it.
Actually,
I looked it up. I had it. But it's a...
Yeah, I've got it right here, Ma. I'm going to read just a caption. So Sex is a Funny Word is a book about bodies, feelings, and you, and it's written by Corey Silverberg is the author, and I've heard of this controversial book before. So the fact that you mentioned it and they're wanting to ban it, it actually is a good thing. It is a little too overt when it comes to supposed to be a comic book for kids, mind you, black family comic book for kids that includes information about. The birds and the bees, the sexual boundaries, safety and joy, all of this is what they're saying in the caption. And I definitely think that this is unnecessary to and it leads our kids to early promiscuity, from what I see.
Exactly. I mean, the way they, you know, it's an explicit book, and it's in the library. For our children from the ages of 8 to 12, I believe that's the section that it's supposed to be in. I mean, the book speaks about penis, vagina, masturbation. I mean, one of the gentlemen, he took, I believe it's six councilmen, gentleman up there on the podium, 5 or 6, and he had photocopied pictures out of the book, explicitly pictures out of the book, and he had a set for each of them. Same black man with that cowboy hat, he didn't even look at it. He put it in there, he put it down and kept flipping his magazine. But the pink people looked at it, and their eyes and their expressions, you know, he didn't give it to the audience. He gave it to the actual council people. That's why we didn't get to speak. And we waited until it was over. And Andrea said, we're not going to sit here for 2.5 hours for no reason. So everybody had left. So the vice president of the county council meeting, he was still sitting there and everybody had left. So she went up to him and she expressed what we came there to say about Lavelle. And he took her name and her number, which was last Monday. And he expressed to her that Thursday was a holiday. And this week here, being Monday, we're going to give him some time. He told Andrea, he promised her that he would look into the situation and he would get back to her. Now, today is Monday. We're going to give him a little time.
Okay.
We're going to give him, David Britt is his name. We're going to give him a little time. He's the vice president of the county council. So it wasn't all in vain. Got to speak with the president of the NAACP, which his name is Edward Parks. I spoke with him today, and he said he would get back with me tomorrow by 2 o'clock and let me know something, because he was supposed to go last week. He informed me that last week that him and Chuck Wrongright, he was supposed to meet with him. But being there was a holiday, he said he had different things set up to do, which I can understand, the holiday time, that he was supposed to meet with him to see the video of Lavelle. Now, you know, I question that. Things I have to accept that I cannot change. That he's the head of the NAACP, and they were going to let him see the video of Lavelle, but I'm Lavelle's mother. What about his family? Now, this was and told me at the county council meeting, because he got to speak too, and he was speaking about the homeless. That was his situation, because they was giving $6 million for this and $2 million for that, and he asked about the homelessness, because they never did bring that up in the county council meeting. So that was that's what he was addressing, the homelessness in Spartanburg. And then when he called his name and who he was, that's how I come to know who he was. And I went over to him after he spoke and sat down a few minutes and gave him my name and told whom I was. And then he had told me that he was supposed to be meeting with Chuck Wrongright. Now, if I hadn't wanted to tell him, I wouldn't have known that either. But then it was a holiday last week. So, I you know, you give people the 50-50 to him today, and he told me that tomorrow by 2, call him, and he would have some information, either yay or nay for me, about him meeting with Chuck Wright. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, it's coming into a number, but the 3rd is Thursday or Friday, whichever's coming up. And that'll be, you know, October the 3rd, the bell was killed. So every 3rd of the month, every day, 24 hours is another day. So that'll be 2 months, 60 days. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
You're right. And that 60 days is more than enough time for them to do whatever toxicology or hold up
whatever lies,
cause of death.
Whatever lies they concoction, because there ain't no toxicology take that long to do nothing. So I heard earlier, speaking about body parts, now the mortician that got Lavelle's body here in Gaffney that did his services, she assured me, Miss Shirley, she assured me that all Lavelle parts came with him from the, because, you know, they immediately took him from the jail cell and gave him autopsy, which I didn't give permission for and I didn't know about till it was all said and done. But she assured me that all the bell parts came with him.
Okay. That's good.
That's good. What Miss Shirley assured me. And I asked her more than once. I asked her as close as last week. And she assured me that all his body parts came with him. Because I heard that earlier in the conversation.
Yeah, because there are a lot of unfortunate situations where that is not being observed and it happens. So I'm glad
of
that
course.
They confirmed.
Yes, he had a little mental issue, but physically he was 1,000. His physical being, you know, he had a 100% scholarship to Howard University for track. So he was physically fit. He still played basketball. He still ran a bit. But he was really, you know, he took care of himself. He took care of himself physically. But as I said, she assured me that all his body parts came because I've asked her that a few times. And she gave me the same answer, that yes, all of his parts came with him. Because I know they go for tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they use.
All right, well, that's good. That's good to know. We just have to take their word for it in this particular case, and God knows for sure. But justice is far from even beginning to start for Dearest Lavelle. So we are going to wait.
She's an older black lady. She's an older black lady, and she's been in the mortician. She inherited from her dad's business, and she said she's been in it over 50 years, and I trust Miss Shirley.
Okay. All right, that's
she's
good.
She's a very sophisticated black lady. I trust her word.
All right.
I trust her.
All right,
she's
angry.
She's with us. She's not against us. She's angry about Lavelle, too, so.
Okay. That's good. Well, blessings go out. What's her name? Is Shirley?
Yes. Gilmore.
Sure. Okay. All right. Oh, Gilmore.
She also let me know
when he got to her that that they had cut the veil in parts, that she had never seen no one do an autopsy, cut him in his body where he should not have been cut. He told me that, too.
Mm. Okay.
But, you know, just to throw that out there. She told me that as well.
Okay.
So I don't know what toxicology, whatever they cut pieces where he was supposed to be cut out. I don't know what they did. Probably said most likely cut out from where they tased him at, but he said that didn't even matter because when you tase someone, it goes to the bone. So she said they might have cut out the outer part, but she said they couldn't cut out the bone part. So that's neither here nor there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, John.
Trying to cover
now,
their
the opposition from my extensive investigations over the years. They have a certain aggression, almost adrenaline flowing from them when they get to trap us or torture or punish us. They have an extreme aggressive behavior when it comes down to torturing us. Again, the Louis Teal case was tortured and executed 10 years before Emmett Till, and that was suppressed for 7 up to this hour. They still haven't fully released that story on what happened to Louis Teal. And these funeral directors, I want to brief you all. Now, these are good reasons why you want to be listening to Black Power Radio, because we give you more of what you actually listen to our Black Talk and Black Radio for, and get your black information straight. But the funeral directors now have organized, and the embalmers, there's a union of embalmers who say that since the COVID vaccine, they have a new phenomenon in the blood of many that they are doing autopsy and doing preparing the remains and embalming the bodies. But they're getting these things as some are calling blood clots, and others are saying it is like calamari, a calamari stuck in the blood, and it's from something that they say is a new phenomena, and many of them believe it's related to the COVID, it's related to taking the shot. Particles, sand-looking particles in the blood that they have never seen in that 5, 10, 20, 30 years of embalming people. And they are reporting they have not seen that phenomenon anywhere. And, of course, I'm in shock and awe because they say some of these people are just dropping dead or they meet a certain pre-existing conditions and they just die suddenly. They take them in. Remember, used to go, oh, he had a stroke last week. So-and-so had a kidney dialysis. And, oh, so-and-so, yeah, he back in there playing poker now. He back in there playing. So they bring them back two or three times. But now you hear about a condition. Your heart is going up near your throat. You say, because the next thing they'll say, and shown up, the next thing they come right back and say, that person dead. They say, he was rushed to the hospital on so-and-so, on such and such a thing. And he's dead. But now the funeral director is reporting, and the embalmers have gotten together a union of embalmers, and all of them are collectively saying that there's a new phenomenon out that came with the vaccine, Moderna, and Johnson's, and Pfizer. It goes all the way up to James Brown said, brand new funky president. And his vice president and her husband is connected directly to giving out these goddamn vaccinations. Well, some call it the stab and others call it the jab. So beware, brothers. This is what I'm saying. This phenomenal news and breaking stories come through here, fat and juicy. The story of the Hebrews basically retaliating for the statements made against Brother Kyrie. Hmm? They jumped him out there, and they marched on them to New York City in full force and said, we will go to your ass. They didn't put that all over the news, but I've been putting it in your back channels, up and down the Facebook, No Look. Take a look at the crook on Messenger, Clubhouse, No House, Outhouse, Twitter, Glitter, LinkedIn, Linked Out, without a doubt. I've been putting the word out on this thing. That whole piece, and somebody needs to do some combination of lecture on Lewis Teal and these phenomenons of people dying and the cover-up of the deaths from Trayvon Martin all the way back to Emmett Teal. And then please don't pull out the story on what took place between 1945 and 1955 on Emmett Till. And from 1955 to Trayvon, to Eric Garner, to Michael Brown, to Trayvon to Stephon, from Tamir Rice with no dice. I'm just saying, there's too many of us in the body bag, and someone should stand up and say, freedom of death. I mean, we enough is enough, and I'll leave it right there with you. But we know we don't need another body bag, and we like you said, was it Tina Turner, and we don't need another hero, but we need life beyond Thunderdome. My.
That's right. Right on.
Amen, Lord, and Amen Ra.
All right, so that's a lot that we've diversed this evening, and we definitely want to keep every aspect of information that was given out today to expand on it, to reflect on it, and to apply it to your life. So I mentioned earlier that we're going to bring up three very important tools that each of us need in order to move forward for the grander scheme of things of the revolution. And so these three things are is what's necessary to move forward. And so the first thing that you need in order to be part of the grand revolutionary work is a desk. That's right, a desk. And if you have a pen, you need to write these 3 points down because this is what you're going to need moving forward. So the first one is a desk. That's right. It could be a small 2x3, something that where your chair can sit comfortably at chest length to put your second tool, which would be a laptop or a computer of some kind, preferably laptop. So the second is a laptop. First is a desk. Second is your laptop. And the third thing that you need in order to move forward successfully in this revolution is your fingers. That's right. The fingers that's attached to your body, that is the most important tool and the third of these three tools that are needed. So if you have a desk, if you don't have one, you need to get one. Find and ask your neighbor, someone. Or you can give us a call, 1-866-548-0521. Say, you know what, I don't have a desk. I need access to one or I need to get one. We'll see how we can help you out on that. The second is your laptop. Everyone should at this point have a functioning laptop with enough gigabytes to do your research, to surf the web. You need a strong internet connection. That's very important. And the third one, which we already have, is your fingers. Now, what you're going to do with these three tools is to make them a priority. Make them a priority in your plan of action. As we mentioned before, it's very important for us to come together on a weekly basis at minimum. Some people meet twice a week. Some people even meet once a month. Fine, but we need to have a designated time for your people that you want to work with in your community to meet online, which is one of the easiest ways to have a meeting and disseminate and share and execute a plan of action. It's very hard sometimes to meet in person, but what we can do with the technology such as Zoom or web search for meetings, there are other online meeting platforms. You need to have a functioning laptop or computer or device to do so. If you want to use your phone, as Iman said, your smartphone or your dumb phone, your Android, Paranoid, you could use that as well. But it's preferable that you have some type of laptop. And the cheapest ones, you know, that's fairly usable, is range from $300 and up. So invest in that if you don't have that already. And your fingers are going to be trained to search specific items. So, for example, tonight we relayed a lot of codes that you can use in order to declare a state of emergency in your state. In order to do that, you need to have a comfortable location in your home, a desk, a laptop, and yourself, and take the time, an hour a day, discipline yourself. Start taking the time to take away from the activities that are not conducive to the movement and train yourself in order to catch up or write your plan and work on it. And then when you come together, when we come together in that designated time and space, that you have done your due diligence in putting down your plan of action and working on it, and bringing it to the table. If you don't have a plan of action, start right now. It's never too late. But we cannot move forward if you yourself does not have a specific plan. So here on Black Power Radio, we have a plan. We have a plan for various different issues. And tonight we focus on the homelessness aspect of your community. So with these three tools, I ask you and implore you to get them and use them as soon as possible. Without these three tools and without disciplining yourself to really take at least an hour a day to focus on learning a new language, such as Hebrew. And speaking of Hebrew, want to touch a little bit about Kyrie Irving, if you haven't heard, of the recourse that a lot of these naysayers were speaking on Kyrie in the beginning, such as Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, all the sports commentators, that they really don't know themselves as who they really are. And because they received a lot of backlash from the negative comments they made on Kyrie, who, again, just posted a link to a movie. He didn't create the movie. He didn't write anything anti-Semitic. But because this was a deflection, a distraction that they were trying to create as a hate crime from black people, that it backfired. And so a lot of these sportscasters like Charles Barkley and Shaquille, they're walking back their comments, trying to, you know, minimize what they were saying or trying to explain away their original comments of calling Kyrie an idiot, which is some of the words they use. And if you didn't see, also the United in Christ Army, the Hebrew Israelites that came to the Barclays Center last week to actually defend in Kyrie's honor. While that was a beautiful sight, we definitely want to see black empowerment groups to march on a regular basis in our black neighborhoods for our black causes. So that is something that I would hope to see more often to make a point, but it's definitely a great thing to see black people stand together to support someone that may not have a popular opinion. So with that being said, those three tools, please get it, use it, apply it, and we'll see you at the next meeting. We'll see you at the next meeting. Ready to work and work. All right. So we're closing to the hour. And
we have
two
more callers. And check the temperature out there at 504 at 432. You're actually live here on Black Power Radio.
Yes, sir. Black Power. Yes. And you know, I'm sitting back just, you know, observing, you know, I'm, you know, learning and stuff like this. And that's very true about the you were saying about the organs and stuff like this. And then another thing too, we don't know what they're doing in the back of those when they pick our people up from the paramedics and stuff like that. Now, I want many of us to get this book. I forgot the author's name, but did you know that it was a group out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was the first to start up a paramedic service? You know, and then the Panthers, the original party, they started doing that. But the group out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, they're just going around and teaching. But when that program was so successful, the government came and took it over. Because they started that in, what, 67, 68? And the government might have took it over around 75, 76. Because they were saying a lot of times when many of us, we would get injured or hurt, it would be a paddy wagon to come and get us. So, you know, they would come and get us and, you know, they would, you know, say, no, when that person is hurt, you know, lay them on the ground, you do this, you do that, you do that. But if I find the author name of the book, I'm gonna give the more information about it. But it was a group of black men who started up the paramedic service in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for calling. But where are you calling in from tonight, sir?
I'm calling from New Orleans.
Well, we thank you, New Orleans, for joining us, for being there and being live right here on Black Power Radio, and we hope you'll continue to call. Thank you again,
yes, sir.
May the Almighty God of the world continue to bless you and your family, bless your network, okay?
All right,
sir. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
We're going right down the line here at a 347. Look like New York is in the house. New York in the house at 347. At 546, you're live right here on Black Power Radio. Thanks for calling.
Yes, this is Lavelle's father, Andy Reese.
Yes, sir.
I was talking about the homeless. And majority of the homeless people out there around the United States, I'm not only saying New York, Chicago, Illinois, or any other state in the United States, is mental illness.
Right.
It's mental illness. Because when I was in New York City, I'm in South Carolina now, and I used to go to work, and I used to ride the subways, and I would see the mental illness on the trains because it was so frigid cold. They had nowhere to go but the train or the subway to ride the train back and forth. And I couldn't even get a seat on the subway to sit down to take that long ride out to Queens Boulevard where I worked at. And it was kind of, it was like disappointed. And then I felt sorry for them because they didn't get the help they need. But to take that long ride all the way out there, I did it, and I still have sympathized on what they was going through because I know the situation with mental illness, because what they do is out in the street, nobody has the patience for the mental illness. Nobody want to take that acceptance to take care of the mental illness. And so it really hurt my heart. And as I used to ride the train, I used to pray for them each and every day because I know I had children of my own that had mental illness of themselves. And it really, really touched me deep down inside. And most of all, Brother Akbar, I want to amend you and thank you for going out of your way, coming all the way from Washington, D.C., to support my wife and my daughter as they went to that council meeting, because I wasn't able to go because I had the flu. And I don't want to be around certain people and spreading my germs to any other individual. And I appreciate you and the other two brothers that went with you. I can't really exactly call their name, but I really want to say thank you. And thank you for standing by my family. And Dr. True Bay, I think I'm saying it right. I want to thank her as well and all the other individuals that come on the line to support my son Lavelle through his tragedy and what happened to him. We are still looking for answers, and I'm sticking to the plow. I'm sticking to the plow. I'm not looking back. Yeah. I'm still sticking to the plow and making sure that the lawyers is doing what they're supposed to do. And the information that you're giving me, Dr. True Bay, I thank you. You're very helpful. I'm relating to my lawyer what he should do. And you've been very helpful to my family, and I thank you very much. And I thank you, but a lot of topics y'all talked about this evening on this line. It was very interesting about, you know, I got to check my license because, you know, I don't know if they put an organ donor on it. So I'm going down to the motor vehicle tomorrow to find out if they did put me down as an organ donor. Because, you know, sometimes these white people can be very tricky. And you don't know you're an organ donor until you go down and check your license. And then if you get into a car accident, they rush you to the hospital. They'll shoot you with something to take you out of here to say he's an organ donor. And Dr. So-and-so said he needs this. And he said if we bring him a person in that got this kidney or got this heart or got this liver or whatever, he'll say he'll kick us off with $15,000, whatever. You know what I mean? And we don't know how much the price of an organ is, but it's a money thing it's making out there. But it's undercover. Okay. It's undercover. Because these people know each other. And they like the police know each other, the ambulance know each other, the fireman know each other. Majority of these people out here is Caucasian. They got these jobs like this in this status. It's fireman, EMS is mostly white, you know, especially in the South. And I'm like, my mother used to go to the hospital. She was down here with me, and I was like very skeptical about her going to the ambulance by herself because
right.
I was like worried. But every time she went to the hospital, I drive behind the ambulance. I drive behind them until I reach that hospital. It's about like a half an hour ride to go to Spartanburg to Gaffney. And I stay close on them, and I stay close on them. They said, man, you was behind us? I said, I was behind you all the time. He said, man, you had to do that. She's all right. I said, I don't know. But I ain't telling them why I don't know. But I know what I know for me to know, because I know they'll kill you, you know.
Right.
Because it, you know, it's that way. I done took another nigga out here that last night. Transferred to the hospital. I smothered him to death. Anything. You know, people do things like that, especially in the South. And you can't really, like, trust people and everything with your body. And even doctors down here in the South, you don't know who is part of the KKK. You know,
right.
You don't know who involved in the KKK. You go into get a simple operation and go into a emergency room or whatever. Just a simple operation and turn out to something big. Oh, he just passed. I don't know what happened. And they think, you know, they're taking your organs and then all this stuff and then they're giving it to somebody else and everything. So, you know, I appreciate y'all and I understand what y'all were talking about tonight. And I'll just sit back. I ain't say a word. I just listen, you know. Sometimes you got to take the cotton out your ear and put it in your mouth, you know, and just sit back and listen and understand what's going on around you. Thank y'all, guys. I appreciate y'all. I don't usually come on the line, but, you know, I'm just waiting to them give us some answers about my son, and I speak to him. I got the corner direct number. If I want to call him anytime, I can call him. I got my lawyer number. I got his cell phone number, I got his house number and everything. I got everything that I actually need, but not the answer of my son's death. And that's what I really need. And that's really, really bothering my wife, and it's really bothering me. So if anything is bothering her, it's actually bothering me. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Well, we thank you, Mr. Reese, for coming in and feel honored to have you to come on Black Power Radio. And talk to us and update us and keep us informed with the good, warm spirit. And, I mean, you are an exceptional person. And I know that LaBelle is proud to have a father, and all of the young sisters are proud to have you as a father, from Andrea on, as many of them, and they are proud of you as a father. And you're that father figure, you know, like the – they tried to cut Joe Jackson down, didn't want the father to stand up in the household and be the true head. And we put accentuation on the father because it is so many things that we have to attribute to our fathers. And you are a great leader, and I have so much love for you and your family. And we've come to know each other so much better over the months, and we're just – staying right there with you and seeking the right answers to the right questions and knowing that that is a terrible atrocity has been done. We see no doubt in that whatsoever. And there's been a massive cover-up in much of what is going on here. And it's for the city and county with duck responsibility is a form of malfeasance and public deception. Abuse of power, and again, wrongful death. So we must pursue these matters in a manner that will be extremely effective at this hour. And I say power to we the people, and hope that you will have the great results, and that you are successful in all of your endeavors. Amen. Yes, sir. And,
power to the people.
Yeah, we really do appreciate you, Mr. Reese, because we don't highlight father figures too much because there's not a lot of two-parent households out there. But we really do tip our hats to you for your strength and supporting the family at this time of grief, and that you're still standing ten toes down. And so we truly do appreciate your presence. And as I said, justice has not even yet begun for Lavelle, and we stand by you 100% during this time to seek answers, and we will get them one way or the other.
I'm going to make y'all laugh. I'm going to make y'all laugh. Me and Andy go back like Cadillac seats, honey. I've been with Andy for 41 years.
Wow. That deserves a celebration.
Congratulations. Congratulations. We don't have our foghorn and stuff. We used to have a nice little symbol for that. And we'll sound our symbolical horn of applause for you and your husband for what y'all are doing. Because y'all are saving humanity. As we save the rights for Lavelle Lane, we're saving the future generation and hoping that no one else will ever have to go through this type of situation again, really on this earth.
Brother Ibar,
especially where you are.
Brother Ibar, if I was a young man, about at least, like I say, about 30 years younger, I'd put on my boots.
I feel you.
Right.
I'd be out there with you. I can't do it now. After Rising hit me, you know, everything that hit me, you know what I'm saying? But if I was a young man, I'd put on my boots, man.
You know, I know.
You right there with us with all of the things that have been said and done. Mr. Reese has been extremely consistent in calling out the opposition and being there on the front line at every turn in the road to see that that things are going right here. And that's what we must do for our family and for Lavelle. And then, of course, Keisha Tate's over there with the different but the very same thing that happened to her. And we're just so short-sighted as a people of the thing that our Queen Mother was complaining yesterday that, man, I'm out here on the front line. But she said, when they loved our neighbors, she said, where are these people I befriended here for the last at least 10 consistent years of friendship?
Amen.
And nobody stepped up and said, hey, man, what have they done to your son?
Yeah.
Don't stand up.
I feel that way, too. I feel that way. I mean, I really had to speak it because I feel that it's in my heart. You know, it's a factuality. But, I mean, I'm going to be there. And, when time permits, you're there. You know, and God is always with me. You know, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. But like I said, that community, and I have family here in Gaspé. You know, they claim work, they claim this, and they claim that. You know, all of this, where it doesn't affect you until it's in your household. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really doesn't affect you until
it's
in your household.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you don't have that empathy, that compassion until it hits you. You know, because when they had the protest for Keisha Tate and they had that man in there and they was accusing him of involuntary manslaughter. And when her mom and her sisters was in there, I mean, outside the Gaffney jail, because see, that happened in Gaffney, Lavelle, where he was, it was hurt. They was deep. And I was standing out there with Keisha. Keisha had 9 children. I had 9 children. I have 8 living. Lavelle's still here. He was number 7, which is completion. But I stood right there with Keisha. I knew Keisha. And that's horrible what happened. Anything happens and it goes on again, I'll be standing behind her too. They had a county council meeting here in Gaffney the beginning of the first Monday of November. I went to that county council meeting, me and CJ. We was the only 2 there. But I went for them. Sure did, for Keisha. But when I go for Lavelle, ain't nobody there for Lavelle being my family. But that's the way it's got to be. That's the way it got to be. You know, my ways ain't God ways. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? I ain't going to question. I ain't going to question.
That's right.
And I really, really, really hope and pray y'all give me the strength. You know, a lot of every battle is not ours. Sometimes we have to get out of God's way as well. You know, I don't want to overstep my boundaries. And what he has planned for the outcome of the battle. But that's not fair to most. His ways is not our way.
And God has
but
a final
then I'm
say.
But then,
sure.
Then I'm going to say something with closing, right? With closing. I'm going to say something with closing. You know, like, my family is going through a mass destruction. And when I see them sad and grieving, see, they take things, grieve, a woman and children grieve more than the man. So what I do is, I go on the, I got the front porch and I got a carport and I got a side porch. And what I do, I don't let them, I'm not supposed to say it, I'm going to say it, I don't let them see me crying. They say a man not supposed to cry, but that's a lie because Jesus, he even wept, you know, if you read the Bible. And so I go outside and I wept and ask God, please give me the answer for these people to tell me what really happened to my son and the cause of his death. And I ask him that each and every day. I wake up in the morning, go on my front porch in my rocking chair, because we bought two rocking chairs, one for her and one for me. And I'm so used to her rocking in her rocking chair, and I'm rocking in mine. And hers be empty, and she be inside the house grieving. But I be grieving by myself on the porch. But I know that God is still on my side. Y'all continue to pray for my family and keep continuing to lift us up in your prayer. And God bless y'all.
Bless you, too. You sure will.
And bless you likewise.
You are taken from. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead, Mom.
Yes, sir.
I was just saying, we keep you in our prayers all the time, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mr. Reese is a very rare personality. His whole family, he's got a very close cousin or uncle and family that spoke up for Lavelle at one of the rallies. And he said, he's a smart young man. He's a smart young man.
Uncle Toby.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't deserve the wrath of whatever has occurred inside of the Spartanburg Detention Center. We want in detail what has happened to him. We're going to see how they deliver, but we, you know, are very, very apprehensive about their sincerity and them being forthcoming in this matter. And of any information coming out, we're just going to examine the facts. And again, we're going to have to let the pieces fall where they may. And with that said, if anyone have anything to say before we close this yet another episode of Black Power Radio, we certainly will leave that mic open for you to say what you have. Go ahead.
I got a question. How do you get a body exhumed if you want to pull the body out of the ground and see if they stole organs out of the body? How much do it cost?
Hold on.
I don't know that one, brother.
You have to file and get a, I think it's really to get a judge approve you to go and perform the act. You would go through the, I think the easier way to go is through the funeral parlor. That performs the burial.
That's actually a good question. Imad, if I may. This is a good, very good question, and I have to look it up just now, and I just pulled up. So it says, in order to exhume a body, you have to petition the court and give the reason why. So the notice has to be written, notarized, and given permission from majority of the descendants of the deceased. And, yes, he said every single descendant. In some states, they require all the family members to sign a declaration of something on the lease. And the cost of exhumation, they said it's about $20,000. Woo, so it's not cheap. $20,000 includes all expenses like attorney's fees, backhoe, I don't know what that is, backhoe, I'll look that up, medical examiner, et cetera. So
yeah, the backhoe is a device to dig up the ground or to dig up any remains or whatever you have to dig up. They mean backhoe fee for the operator.
Mm-hmm. So that's something to think about. But it's black market organ harvesting is a very, very lucrative business for sure. So I really do need us to wake up, black family, and I'm so glad Mr. Reese said he's going to look and see if he's an organ donor without his permission. And I suggest, black family, that you do the same, that you take the time to see if that is on your license or any other document. Usually it is your DMV license that's attached to a donor permission to be a organ donor. All right. So with that being said, I actually wanted to go into next week's show. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about exposing YouTubians who are so-called for the movement by mouth, but their actions speak completely different. So we have highlighted Tahaka Bay as one of the prolific premier tabloid journalists. His stint right now with battling accusations of sex offending and abuse. And so he's currently trying to seek donations to make a trip out of California. Well, he's definitely not going to come to my city without seeing us first. So that's for sure. Right now, tonight, Tahaka Bay, I believe, has an award show called Jive Turkey Awards. And it's, of course, I'm going to take a look at it, and it has a lot of notables on there. But the moment that he puts a panther in his mouth without further research, without proper vetting, this is the reason why he is one of many, I call them false prophets, that we are going to be calling out until they actually come on the show to clear up any so-called misinformation that they may feel. But from what we have facts, we have data, we have action, and we have truth. And so that is the foundations that we lay any subject or topic of discussion. So next week we'll be looking and highlighting Charleston White. Charleston White has been in the news the last week and a half, specifically for the stunts of pulling out a gun in the last interview, downgrading the mothers of the rappers such as King Von, Chicago rappers, and the disrespectful manners that he just went off. So I just want to play a quick clip, and we're going to go in depth of who is Charleston White next Sunday, December 4th. We'll be highlighting the work of Charleston White. He is supposed to be a youth mentor. He's always professing to be a mentor of young people. He does make a lot of good points when it comes to rappers and the disrespectful information that they put out, the violent songs, the disrespect of women, and stuff like that. So he does have some good valid points that he does make. But at the same time, you can't profess to be a superhero for the black community by calling out these rappers while you yourself are pulling out a gun at an interview. And that's one of many things. So let's just hear quickly the last interview that he had. And I'm just going to play just a snippet so you can hear the commotion and the energy that he brought after this interview. He was actually calling out King Von's mom and calling her all sorts of bitches and hoes and stuff like that. It was very disturbing, to be quite honest with you.
King Von was a killer. My mama had Tucson locked up for murder. And my mama let everybody know I'm not in agreement with what my son has done. I have a look. So,
so if you hear all that screaming and commotion, oh yes, Black family, if you haven't seen the video, you need to watch it live and direct and see the behavior that this self-proclaimed youth mentor has done. Now, would you want your kids to be mentored by somebody who has such vile language, disrespecting the mother of dead children? And whether you agree with their lifestyle or not, to disrespect their mother. And we're going to play a clip also next week of King Von's mom, who's clearing up and wondering why. Why is Charles going on a rampage in this fashion? Why is he disrespecting her to the point where she has to address that? You know, when a mother loses a child, the last thing they want is for somebody else to disrespect their legacy, whether it's not the greatest or not. There's a certain level of protocol and respect that we have to give to the mothers who bore these children and try to survive in a society, in an environment that is so deadly to the Black man. That's why I'm really hard on my people. Not because I want to bitch about it. It's because I know we can do better. See, if we don't know who we are in the spirit realm, then we forget who we are on the earthly realm. And this is why we need to highlight people like Charleston White in detail. And Charleston White is personal to me because I actually was supposed to do a podcast a year ago with Charleston White. And what made me stop the having the actual interview with him was that he made a video on YouTube, and that's where he's at most of the time. He's on YouTube, so we're going to meet them at the YouTube streets. He was talking about another rapper's daughter. He had beef with another rapper, and that's why he goes. He has almost 3 million followers because, unfortunately, a lot of the hip-hop rap world, they like this type of mess. It brings more clicks. It brings more likes. It brings more followers. And so Charles knows this. And he went and told this rapper that, yeah, I'm going to kick you and your daughter's ass, who is 5 years old. He's a five-year-old girl that has nothing to do with grown-ass men's beef. He went on public forum and said, I will thump, I will beat down your daughter as well. When I heard that, Black family, I said, oh, no way. No way. That was the first red flag that I personally encountered when it comes to Charleston White. So he's located in Fort Worth, Texas, and a lot of my people in Fort Worth don't want to work with him because of this type of behavior. So we're going to highlight Charleston because he does have a high following, and our young people are listening to people like Charleston White. So we have to nip that in the bud before it gets out of hand. And hopefully we can have Charleston White, because I'm not going to put out his number now, but I damn sure I'm going to put out his number next week. We'll reach out to him and say, hey, brother, you know, we'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Like, what's really going on, brother? Are you going to be a youth mentor with actions that coincide with what you say you want to do for the Black youth? Or do you want to be another clout chaser, pulling stunts, and dangerous stunts at that, where we are trying to decompose gun violence? We're trying to minimize that, and here you go flaunting it and making it a thing.
Say, them Chicago niggas came down here and scared me, man. Them young niggas came down here and scared me, so I didn't just pull no gun out on nobody, y'all. That's not true at all. That's not, but I did. They disturbed me. Just like when the police had to shoot a nigga and the police excuse him, I was in fear of my life. I was in fear of my life. Y'all don't know how many Chicago niggas was in the room. Y'all don't know how many Chicago niggas was outside. I was in fear of my life. I ain't pointed the gun at nobody, but I cocked it and pointed at the camera. Now, I cocked that motherfucking gun and told everybody, get out the way, nigga, and pointed it at the camera.
Okay, that's just a snippet of what we're going to go in depth next week. But definitely, if you don't know who Charleston White is, please research him. Guarantee you, your child knows who he is. If you don't know who he is, our children for sure know who they are. So we have to be on the ball with this one. So with that being said, that wraps up our coverage and our topics for today. And we thank you, thank you, thank you sincerely from the bottom of our heart for joining us on Black Power Radio every week, where we bring you the most informative news that you will not find on any other platform. And with that being said, this is your girl truly, Minister of Justice, Dr. Truth Bay, and we shake it back to our host, Sheikh Al-Imam Akbar.
And we're so happy to have had everyone on tonight on yet another episode of Black Power Radio. If there aren't any more comments, and we have our Queen Mothers waiting in the wings, and those that have joined us to pray for the good outcome in the Lavelle Lane case, and the Keisha Tate case, and those throughout that region that have been wrongfully abused and misused and fatally wounded, and for the lethal practices of the administration, we want to take a close look at, and we'll take that look together and see what are the ways and means to bring justice at this hour. But we are for justice for Lavelle Lane and all of those that have been abused by this wicked system nationwide. It's collectively done quite a job on us. And we refuse to take it any longer. We're taking exception and to become the rule and break with that tradition and establish new traditions and get away from the uneventful habitations and include habitations that are productive. And we'll just be on what they call complete and constructive change. I do thank you all again for joining us. Is there anyone with any comments or a question before we close?
No, I just want to keep everyone in prayer. Genereese Lane family and many others going for a time of grief, and for us to really be under God's wing and to love one another. And this is a primary commandment for us to do. So just stay prayed up, Black families, stay encouraged, and be unified, as Queen Mother reminds us every week that we must be unified, not just in dialogue, but in action. So with that, Black Power.
Great. Black Power. And Queen Mother, if you had a few words for us from our spiritual advisor.
Yes. I just want God just to continue to keep his loving arms wrapped around us and keep us in his bosom. And I just want him to just guide our minds, guide our hearts, and guide our steps. And just keep us grounded. And as I always say, as Dr. Trubay said, just let us be on one accord and stay unified and love one another. That's just the final commandment that we need to live by and embed in our spirit and in our heart and our soul. Just love one another. That's what I pray for myself. I pray for you. I pray for each one on this line, our families near and far. Just keep that love in our heart, and don't have that division. Unity. There's strength in unity. United we stand, and divided we fall. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Lord. And always remember your scriptures telling you the greatest gift we could possibly give on this earth is the gift of love. And I always accentuate to say that the best love we could ever give and the greatest love of all is Black Panther love. And with that said, with all that we can say and all that we've ever said, I know our beloved brother,
our patriot, and our great leader in entertainment, Brother Marvin Gaye, always told us best. We always
let it control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally.
We're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act well. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let nothing, nothing.
But the one that got away, won't be left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey, the only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, Comatell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the Comatell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. You point fingers, not at this shit complain. Started didn't fight, just stripped to blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, they just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. See this mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Somebody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on a spoon with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred. She escaped, you put a bounty on her head. Poison water in the air and the food. We already dead, so what else we got to lose? Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you, don't conform to authority. Cause under uniforms, human bones that bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 got, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody know, now they wanna sign
and
touch us on the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American
American way, slaves with the chain. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Miss you, 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 mi they do.
Got a thing going on.
the same.